As Eloy was saying earlier, we are having a special service tonight. Just believing for breakthroughs, all kinds of breakthroughs. And we need God to move, amen. And we need Him to intervene. So, you know, we have no idea who's going to turn up or who's going to be coming tonight. Or you can invite people that aren't here. But what I do know is that doesn't really matter. What matters is that when you come believing, expecting God to show up, it activates something in the spirit realm. And that's what tonight is about. We're going to activate something in the spirit realm. And the breakthroughs. And the, you know, the battle's not fought here in flesh and blood. The battles for victories, for you needing God to intervene and move, all of that stuff is won in the spirit realm. And we have authority in Jesus' name to conquer those things that need to be overcome, that need to be broken through. In Jesus' name, He's given us the authority to overcome. And that's what tonight's all about. Maybe you've had a why. Why this, Lord? Why that? Why do I have to go through this? As Eloy has been kind of teaching us in the adult times together, he spent a week going over the... Sometimes we ask the Lord, why? Why? Well, we don't always know why. But we know one thing. God will intervene for us. He will. There will be breakthroughs. The dry bones will rise and walk again, right? Things will happen. And that's what I know. That's what I believe. That's what is in the Word. So I can't always answer your whys, but I know I can answer your what God's going to do. He's going to bring victory in your life. Amen? Amen. Well, I had a barbecue pit accident this last Saturday when I was on vacation. And my knee got really burnt up, my nose, and I got like real bad sunburn and peeling and sensitive skin. That's why I didn't shave today, by the way. But I was thinking this week, I was praying, oh Lord, I'm so distracted. I wanted to focus on something, and I'm, you know, every night I'm having to tend my wounds and just totally distracted. But I started thinking about, you know, when God's about to move and the enemy starts sensing something, he tries to disrupt and distract. You've experienced that. You know that, right? Every time you really start getting your life right with God, it's like, the enemy attacks, right? Amen, brother? You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, good. He got it. Now, I know you guys understand. But God never ceases to amaze me. He's continuing to move and move and move. And I heard, I'm going to embarrass Victoria a little bit. I didn't prepare her for this, but I'm going to ask her to come. And Casey, you'll come with her too. I haven't shared this with her completely, but she needs to know. I know Victoria had a fender bender. They hit her, right? Did they hit you from the back of the car? Yeah, so it wasn't your fault, was it, Victoria? Okay, good. All right, so their insurance gets to pay. But stand over here, just face the crowd here, the huge crowd we got here today. I didn't plan this, but it kind of goes with what I'm saying, that the enemy starts attacking, right? That's the last thing you want, right? Is to, someone hits you, you got to call the cops, and they got to come, and it's all frustrating, isn't it? Was that frustrating? Yeah. In the middle of the road, and oh, God, you had to miss a class, and it's all the enemy's just always trying to disrupt. And I know that God has a special plan for Victoria. And when we came back from camp, you know, I won't get to all the details, but she got a word from the Lord. She got a word from the Lord, and she took time, and I appreciate it, to say, you know, can I share this with you? And Alyssa and I, we met with her, and she shared it with us, and the word was, spot on to what God was dealing with me about. That's one thing about God. When there's a word, there's comfort. It's like confirmation. It's like He prepares us to receive His word. And what Victoria doesn't know, and she shared it with us, and I even went home and wrote it down, and I still have it, and I know that God spoke, and in His timing, things are going to develop. I believe that with all my heart. And these are special times that happen that don't happen all the time, and God's on the, you know, God begins to move in ways like this. But what Victoria doesn't know, and I have shared with other leadership, but not her, is that when I was coming home from camp on that Friday, there was a gentleman who I didn't meet the whole camp. We were there all week. I didn't meet him once. And at the very end, and I know this is God, because at the very time that I wanted to be in the church receiving our first place trophy for volleyball, I got distracted with this gentleman, and we started talking, and he started sharing some things. And we prayed together. And he said, let me give you a word. And he says, on Sunday morning, and this is Sunday morning, something's going to happen, supernatural. And you need to know it's from God. And he's going to do something. Wow, so wow, okay, all right. So I come to church Sunday morning, and we have our service. And I'm waiting for this thing to just show up. At the end of the service, Victoria calls me in and says, I have a word from you. She didn't know that. She just found that out today. But God had already put it in my heart that something was going to happen that was different. And Victoria got a word from the Lord, which is a supernatural thing. And it was that same night, Friday? That Friday night is when she got the word. And I heard from the gentleman Friday around 12 o'clock. And so God was putting things in order. And see, what I'm telling you this story, one is we need to pray for Victoria because the devil tried to distract her this week. And God has a plan for her that's amazing plan. But number two is to encourage you that God is at work, and God is going to speak to us. When He moves, you're going to start hearing Him clearer and clearer and clearer. And you'll have clarity of vision, clarity of purpose as you go through this journey. But don't get distracted in those frustrating times that the enemy comes and just pokes and pokes. Because God will only let the enemy go so far. And you know, God actually has a bigger purpose why He allows it, because you can get into this whole debate. Why does God allow me to go through trouble? Why? You can go through all that. But the truth is this, God allows the enemy to go only so far in order that we can turn what seems dark into something victorious and grow in that process. So always know that when the enemy starts attacking, you're supposed to grow through that process. Keep that mindset. And so that is how God is operating, and how we can know that it's Him. I believe He's a God of confirmation above all. Sometimes He'll throw a curveball at you, but for the most part, God set that up, the sequence of events at camp, this gentleman, and Victoria hearing from the Lord, and then her telling me the word on Sunday. And it was just, I look back now and I know, okay, God, you're in control. You know what you're doing. So I want you all to stretch your hands towards Victoria. And we're going to pray for protection on her life and protection in her calling. Go ahead and lay hands on her. You can stay down there. That's okay. Right there, right there. Just stretch your hand this way and join me. Heavenly Father, we pray right now for Victoria. We pray, oh Lord God, for her protection, Lord. We pray for the destiny that you have for her, the masterpiece plan that you have for her as she goes to college and gets her degrees that you're leading her to, Lord. I pray right now that you just protect her. And more importantly, above all, Lord, that you will continue to use her as an instrument of purpose. An instrument of purpose. Lord, you gave her a word. She had an encounter with you. Her own camp experience with you when she wasn't at camp. And Lord, we thank you that the plan that you have for her is a blessed plan. It's a plan to prosper her and to see her go from victory to victory. And Lord, this thing the enemy did to try to distract, Lord, you will bring victory out of that. Lord, and I just pray for you to put your hedge of protection around Victoria. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Victoria. Praise the Lord. God is good. She didn't know that someone had warned me about her word. She didn't know that. She just found out today. Isn't that cool, Victoria? That give you confidence that you were on the right track? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Repentance. We've been talking about a move of God, so let me go right into it this morning. Reminder to write a thought down. You have a lot of space now, right, to write something down. So write a thought down every week and pray about it. So are you ready for God to move? Are you ready for God to move in a supernatural way? Are you ready for God to move in your life? Let's make sure we're all prepared for a supernatural move of God. Don't put yourself in a position to get run over by the move of God. That's all I want to warn you about today a little bit. Don't get run over. God starts to move. You remember that story in Acts where God started to move and then this sorcerer comes, hey, I want some of that. What happened to him? He got run over, didn't he? He got beat up because he tried to use Jesus' name and he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He got run over. Don't get run over, right? Don't get run over. So let me give you, picture this. A teenage boy who has been having trouble with his new car or his old car, his new used car, right? We know how that works when we're teenagers, right? We get new used cars. Well, sometimes we still get new used cars, so I shouldn't. A teenage boy who has been having trouble with his new used car finally gets it to turn on and takes it for a drive. Yay! In an attempt to show off and have fun and, you know, be a kid, he parks the car over a railroad track just to be funny. Uh-oh, that sounds like trouble, right? Turns off the car, and then a real train starts coming down the road of the railroad track, and he's unable to turn on the car to get out of the way. Can you picture? Okay, that's not good, right? That's not good. Well, when God begins to move, don't be that person. Amen? Yeah. Don't be that person. Gonna get run over. Make sure that your car is working. Make sure your spiritual life, are you getting the analogy? Your spiritual life is in good working order. Because when God begins to move and you need to move, it's like it's got to turn on and you got to go. Your gifts. Make sure your gifts are being tuned up, whatever those are. Maybe you have a gift of a prayer warrior to pray or to whatever the gifts. You can go through the Corinthians and read all the gifts, right? Whatever those gifts are that you have, tune them up. Begin to pray about, Lord, sharpen my gifts. I want to start using my gifts. Start talking to your pastor or pastors. I'd like to use my gift a little more in this area or that area. Don't be, so sometimes they may say, no, not yet, or the pastors may tell you, oh, hold on, but that's okay. Don't worry about that. Worry about just be available, be willing, right? Lord, I need to sharpen my gifts or I need to, whatever you need to do, what I'm telling you is begin to prepare to use your gifts. Amen. Amen? And sometimes we'll make some mistakes here and there, and that's fine. Don't worry. We're all human beings. But begin to get in tune with God and to start using your gifts, and don't be afraid to use your gifts. Amen? Because you don't want to get run over. Because when God begins to move in a way that is evident, I'm talking about a move where there's no doubt that God is moving and you'll see signs and wonders. Because one thing that's the same through all revivals and all moves of God that have happened throughout the centuries is that supernatural things happen when God began to move in those kind of ways. Signs and wonders. You'll know. But what I believe the Spirit of God wants us to do is get in that mindset. Be prepared to be used by God. Be prepared to whatever your gift is. You may just have one. Maybe you have more than one. Sometimes you don't know. You know, there's a gift called the gift of encouragement. Sometimes you think gifts and you only think of the gifts like preaching. And there's all kinds of gifts that you have one of them. If not more, there's a gift of encouragement. There's a gift of helps, right, in the Bible, where you're just called to serve, and you serve with an anointing and a passion that actually impacts people. So there's all kinds of gifts, but you read in Corinthians, and maybe we'll go through the gifts here in a few weeks, but just begin to get ready to use your gifts. Sharpen them up, because you don't want to be that person in the railroad track when God begins to move and you get run over. You want to be in tune with God, available to use your gifts. When God begins to move, make sure you're not that car. Make sure you are in good working order and you can operate your gifts as designed by God. That's important. Don't try to make up your own gifts. Don't try to. God has given you something in your DNA that you are gifted in certain ways. And what I have found that as you begin to be faithful in these gifts, He gives you more and more gifts. He really does. It's just like the parable, right, of the talents. You use them faithfully, He gives you more. The one that went to go hide them, he got in trouble for hiding them. Use your gifts. At the beginning of every historical move of God was one thing. One thing was evident. There was a lot of repenting going on. And I want to focus on that a little bit today. There was a lot of repenting hearts. So the main point, we need a move of God today. Repent and allow God to change you. Now, repenting is very important. Have not just repenting one time, and not just repenting because you got caught, but having a heart and an attitude of repentance. Amen? Amen? I hope you got that. Sometimes, you know, we repent when we get caught, right? Like the hand in the cookie jar. I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Yeah, you will do it again. Right? That's not real repentance, right? But then there's just a difference when you have a heart of repentance, right? And that's what I'm talking about today. Get your gifts tuned up and get a heart of repentance in you. Amen. Very important. Have a heart of repentance. You know, there are things right now that you don't even know that they're harming you, and it's sin or it's darkness. And when God moves and the light comes out, it's going to be evident. And when that happens, you got to be ready to repent. Amen. Let me say that again because it's important. There are things right now that you're doing that you are just thinking are agnostic, neither bad nor good. But they're harming you. These actions are harming you, and you don't even know it yet, but when the light of God begins to shine upon it, it's going to reveal it to you, and you're going to act one of two ways. You're either going to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm willing to give that up. I'm going to go a new way. Or you're going to be, well, it's not that bad. And you're not going to repent of it. And then it's going to be showing whether you really had a heart of repentance or not. So I'm asking you now to prepare to have a heart of repentance. Because when the time comes and God reveals something to you that you need to change, you're not going to fight it. You're going to say, Lord, your will be done. Amen. We're going real deep down in this. It's not down in your heart. There are things right now that God is going to reveal that it's a sin to you and you are not going to like it. Amen? Because you want to keep that in your life. But it's not right. It's out of order or it's just not right. Something's not right. And you don't even know it yet. And God's going to reveal it to you. Are you ready to repent and turn from it? Ooh. What is it? What is it? Lord, what is it? That shouldn't matter, right? When you have a heart of repentance and you say you want to serve God and follow God and be in His will, when God reveals to you what you need to repent from, then you'll be ready to surrender it. And David, King David, was in that position, right? was exactly in that position, and he was confronted by the prophet, "You are that man," and King David had to make a decision. "Oh, you're crazy. I just sent him off to war, and he got killed. That was not. That's just the way things operate in a kingdom." Right? He could have justified it. But no. What did David do? He repented. He repented. Repentance. So, a quick history there that I put down on your notes. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. And I have a little more research on this, and I want to share a little bit about the history of some moves of God. I talked to you about in the 1700s in the United States, there was a move of God, and the church, God began to move within the church because the church was so ritualistic that they had no personal relationship with God. They were so in order that they couldn't even feel, they didn't have that relationship with God. Everything was done in order and ritualistically, that they were serving the rituals rather than serving a relationship with God. And in the 1700s in the United States, God began to move in the church, getting them out of rituals and to more of a relationship with God. In the Second Great Awakening in the United States in the 1800s, there was a move that happened where the church started, people started getting saved outside the church and be adding to the church. And people that were lost and that didn't know anything about God were being converted to God. And that was a different kind of move that the history books that I've studied talked about. And then in the 1900s, there was another move of God. And in studying that one, because that one led to Pentecostalism, and that one led to the churches that we know today, right? Pentecostal churches. 1900s. You know, in 1800s, there was no Pentecostal churches. In the 1700s, in the 1600s. It was in the 1900s, after the San Francisco earthquake in 1906, right? After the San Francisco earthquake in 1906, you heard about that great earthquake in your history books, right? San Francisco went on fire. There was a man named Frank Bartleman who, before the earthquake, printed some tracts and handed like 50,000 of them out in California, Los Angeles area. And on that track, it was titled The Last Call. And on that track, he referred to, we got to get ready. You know, God's not going to strive with man forever. We got to get ready. He's going to set things right. You know, there'll be God's judgment will begin to fall if we don't change our ways. And after the earthquake, the same gentleman wrote a tract called The Earthquake, showing in scriptures how God was in the earthquake. In Nahum Chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, let me read that. This is one of the scriptures that he had in that tract, Nahum 1, 5 through 7. But a little history, what was happening back then, and it happens now in the media. Whenever there's a huge natural disaster, if you go on TV as a preacher, and you go and say, "The reason we had this natural disaster was because it was God's judgment," you will get crucified. Pastors don't even dare go on TV and say that anymore. Right? But throughout this book, you see that pattern where God says, "My judgment's coming upon you," right? Because you're sinning. But if you go out to the media and say this, guess what? You will be crucified. Why? Because they don't want to admit that God is actually in control. The world does not want to admit that. Amen. And to accept that, sometimes judgment falls because of sin and people running away from God. To admit that is to admit that God is in control. And there's no way the media is going to admit that, right? Or the world. We call it the carnal world. And the same thing happened in that 1906 earthquake. The pastors at the time were hesitant to say San Francisco earthquake happened because God was judging what's going on over here. They were all hesitant. Well, this Frank Bartleman fasted for 5 days, prayed for 10 days, something like that. I don't know the exact details. And after it, came out with this flyer, this tract that said, God is in the earthquake. And he basically made the case the earthquake was a judgment for us to change. And after that, a revival broke out in California. Because a man was willing to stand up and say, no, this was God's judgment upon us. One man, nobody else, he started handing out these tracts. But something happened in the spirit realm that when these tracts, he made like 50, 70,000 of them, he started handing them out in California. And then all of a sudden, people started congregating and a revival broke out that we know now as the Azusa Street Revival. It broke out. And this is a scripture that he wrote, in one of the scriptures he wrote in the tract, Nahum 1, 5 through 7. He said, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein, who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Wow. There's a lot in those three scriptures. Number one, God's judgment does fall. Number two, God is good. And justice. See, the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand that. They're like, if God is good, why is he bringing forth destruction? Right? But God already told us in Scripture, the wages of sin is death. Amen. And the only reason we're alive is because of mercy and grace. Amen. It is his law. And it's a just law. It's not unjust. It's a just law. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 19. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 19. Well, revival broke out in the 1900s after the San Francisco earthquake, and a whole lot of repenting began. A whole lot of repentance. And in this particular revival, the evidence of his presence, of course, there was supernatural things happening, signs and wonders, healings. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit came back into the church at that time. The book of Acts became what God used to emphasize his move. And you know, God uses different things. Remember, the first awakening, it wasn't about that. It was about the church getting the rituals out. The second one was about salvation to the lost. And then the next one here was about empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Do you see a pattern how God was, he uses different things, different focuses when he's ready to move for a specific time. And in this one move of God, this revival, it was about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit back into the church, back into the church, the gifts of the Spirit, which we had lost along the way for years, the church had, because the church didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to use them. Everything would be out of order, and then God had to put things in order. But isn't it amazing how Paul wrote about all of that? Paul understood the gifts of the Spirit and how they should be used and in the church and make sure you don't let things get out of control in the church, have order. I mean, Paul explained it all really well, actually, how to use the gifts and stay in order. He explains it pretty good in Corinthians. But one thing that was evident and is always going to be evident in a move of God is a repentive heart. A repentive heart. So get your mind ready, get your heart ready. Do you have a repentive heart? When something is clearly wrong and God shows it to you and you need to change it, are you going to fight it or are you going to say, yes, Lord, thy will be done. I will surrender that to you. Because if you don't do that, you're going to be that car in the train track, unable to turn on, and you're going to get run over, right? And I don't want to get run over. In Ephesians chapter 4, 17, let's read. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in him because of the blindness of the heart. Do you know that sin will blind you? Notice that here in verse 17 and 18, that Paul is not talking to the unchurched. Paul is talking to Christians, right? And he's saying, if you don't get this in your head and repent from these things, your heart will be darkened. Your mind will be darkened. Let's read it again. This I say, therefore, and testify unto the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. You are not supposed to be like other carnal non-Christians who just walk in the vanity of their mind. Whatever they can come up with, right? That's how they live. That feels right. That sounds good. Well, that's what I want. I want more of that. That makes me happy. That's what I want. That's what I want. Well, that's not the way Christians live. Do whatever you want. Do what makes you happy. Right? You're going to let the two-year-old do whatever they want to make them happy? No. Why? Because they're going to get their finger in that electric socket and get electrocuted because that made them happy. That's how the Gentiles walk. That's how the non-Christians walk. So he's telling the Christians, you're changed. You're not supposed to live that way in the vanity of your own mind. In verse 18, having the understanding darkened, when you live in sin and you're caught in sin and you have sins that have bondage over you, and he's talking to Christians, remember, you will have your understanding darkened. You won't see it. You won't see the train coming down the track. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You see why this is so important, church, to get ready and have a mindset of repentance? Are you ready when God reveals these things to you? Are you ready to say, okay, I'm going to repent. Are you ready? I believe God is beginning to prepare us for another great supernatural move of God. I'm not talking locally in the church. I believe God is preparing us for a move as a national church, as a church. And I only can do my little part here as pastor of this church to begin to preach what God's putting in my heart. And part of the message I got from Victoria, part of the message was right in line, the message the Lord gave her was right in line to what God has been dealing with me about, that we gotta get ready. God's gonna move, but we gotta repent. And the enemy is going to throw some attacks here and there. He's gonna one key word that was used in that word that I'll share was the enemy's gonna try to create disunity. Ooh, that one hurts, right? Whenever you have disunity in families, oh, that's so painful. In marriages, in churches, that's what the enemy uses. And when you don't have a repentant heart, you're going to feed right into that. Be part of the rebellion. One thing I've always taught the pastors in this church, as we've trained together in a lot of ways, through getting licensed, through just being together for many, many years, one thing I've always shared with them and I've always tried to emphasize with them is that God is a God of order. And this is an important lesson for all of us, whether it's a student, with a teacher, whether it's us with cops, with authorities that are civil, whatever it may be, God is a God of order. And you may not always agree with a decision or how something is being handled, but never rebel against the order that is established. Amen. And the Bible even says, don't rebel against the order established even by man. Very important. He only gives a few exceptions. When that order tells you to disavow God, then you can rebel. You're going to serve God no matter what. Because Paul did that too, right? There's a few exceptions, but in the most part, policemen and teachers and bosses at work, you don't rebel against what God has put in order. And that's an important thing to keep unity. Because the enemy will use all of that. You're in the wrong. Let me put it this way. You're in the wrong if you are rebelling against the authority that you're under out of order. There's a right way to do things, right? There's a right way to do things. So sometimes you may have a church where the leaders don't agree with the pastor, and they go start telling other members, I don't agree the way he's doing it. If you're hearing those kind of conversations, you need to get yourself out. Amen. Amen? Of course the pastor's not perfect. Of course the pastor leaders aren't perfect. You don't need anything. I'll tell you that they're not perfect. Right? We're not perfect. But God is a God of order. And the disunity I'm talking about, that's how the devil begins to cause disunity in a church or in a situation, even in families. Even the family has an order, right? God has set up an order in the family, right? There's an established order. Honor your father and your mother, right? It's all that God is a God of order. Make sure you're in that order. So if something is being done unjustly, let's say you're, I don't know why I'm going off on this for a second, but let's say your child is being treated unfair by a teacher. Your job as a parent is to tell your child, you always honor the teacher. You come tell me, and if I see there's something out of order, I will go talk to the teacher, but you always honor the teacher. And then you as a parent go find out what's going on, and you can talk to them about what's fair or not fair. That's within order. So if you apply that to your life, you will be in unity, in godly unity. All right? Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know. Someone needs to write that down and take that home. Okay. God is on the move. I believe that God's on the move. Based on the history of past revivals and based on scripture like that scripture that says, my people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves, right? Repent, turn from their wicked ways, he will heal the land. Amen. You will know a move of God has begun because you will see true repentive hearts. Be ready. Let's read some scriptures here, and we're going to close with these scriptures about a repentive heart. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent. Well, that's right there. First word. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know what happens when there's true repentance? A refreshing Spirit of God begins to flow. A move of God. Repentance brings a move of God. Because he loves to be in that place where there's repentance. He loves it. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. When God reveals these things in your life that you need to change, don't hide them. or you will not prosper. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. This is important. Have a heart of repentance so that you can prosper. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know, that time when God's just going to let sin go and never deal with it, that time, according to this scripture, is gone, over, where he would just wink at it, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And let's end with Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. In other words, bring forth fruits. Begin to show a life that shows evidence of repentance. Amen. You should be living a life that shows evidence of repentance, right? So if you were caught in a sin and you repented from that and you changed your ways, then you should no longer be acting in that way that led to that. You should be acting in another way, right? Your life should show that you've repented. That's what I'm trying to say. Your life should show that you repented. So, church, as we prepare in the next few weeks and months on this concept of preparing, we need a move, Lord. We need a move of God. Preparing our hearts. It always begins a move of God with repentance. Repentive hearts brings a refreshing of His Spirit. We read that. A repentive heart. So be ready. God is going to reveal some things to you that you didn't know you had to get rid of. Don't be afraid. Don't hold on. Let it go. So why do we need a move of God? What's going on? Why do we need to have repentive hearts? Why do we need a move of God? I just wrote a few things down there just to leave with us today. Why? You know, we need a move of God to see signs and wonders, because when signs and wonders start happening, people who never normally don't pay attention begin to pay attention. And then new salvations come, and a new birth of people, families, begin to serve God. So we need a move of God just to break some of these people that are in darkness and to break them into the light. Amen? Why do we need a move of God? We need to break some generational curses, and we need a move of God to break these things in our lives. Amen? We need a move of God to break these things of darkness and generational things. We need a move of God to bring unity to families, to church, to marriages. We need a move of God. You know, marriages, they're very complex things, right? You need a move of God to make sure that you're both in unity. Even the most Christian couple gets lost in their marriage. Why? Because they're not putting God first and their marriage underneath that foundation. And that's important. But we need a move of God to reveal and to break through and to put things on a solid footing for families, for the church, to bring to unity. Because the enemy, one of his biggest tricks is going to try to cause disunity. We need a move of God to advance the kingdom into people's hearts. How many of you look at this country and you're like, we need a revival? Well, it's going to begin. I really do believe. I know I'm not saying it's going to begin tomorrow or next week. I have no idea the timing of God. But I know in my heart I'm supposed to just start preparing, and get you ready for a move of God. So to recap, repent, sharpen up your spiritual gifts, and And get ready. God's going to reveal some things to you that you need to remove. And don't be afraid, because we do need to move. I want to encourage you tonight. We're going to, it's kind of on this theme in a sense that we need to repent. We need God to break through. If there's something that you just need God to break through, and you've been praying and you've been believing, tonight we're just going to cry out to God and say, God, we're going to believe and just give this to you to break something in the spirit realm. And what's loosed in heaven will be loosed on earth. Amen. All right? So look at it that way. Tonight we're planning to loose some things in heaven, break through, and just see God move. So it doesn't matter if there's just a few of us or a lot of us. That's really not important. But I want to encourage you to be here if you can, and God's laid something on your heart. Or if you know somebody that's struggling with something right now, they need a breakthrough, just invite them and see what God will do. But I am excited. I'm excited about preparing for a move of God in a dramatic way. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are in. You're in it. You're in our lives. You're in our church. You're in the Christian community. You are in the world. You are the creator of it all. And you love us. And here we are for such a time as this. We're hearing what you're telling us. And our job's to be prepared, to go home, to pray, to fast, to sharpen our gifts, to be attentive, to have a repentant heart. Lord, we will do those things, and we're ready for you to just breathe upon your people and breathe upon this world. Signs and wonders, where people who aren't paying attention will all of a sudden pay attention to who you are. The enemy has lost. The victory is ours. And we are determined to take the ground for you. We believe in the move. We believe that you will move. We believe that you are moving. Lord, help us to have this repentant heart. Help us to go. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Help us to end in victory with the enemy underneath our feet. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.